everybody, and welcome to commentary for episode number 10 of Buffy Between the Lines, season number 1. My name is Kevin Batchelder. For those who are not familiar with me, you can hear me on several podcasts. I'm chasing tabs, but I'm not there yet as far as podcast numbers. But you can hear me on The Signal, Firefly Talk, in the Whedonverse, and also on the Scapecast, which is in the Farscape universe. So today we've got several crew members involved here, and we're going to be asking them lots of fun questions. I promise not to make them too hard, but we will have a little bit of fun here. So let me go around the virtual table and introduce everybody. We have Tasha, who plays Dawn.
Hello.
We have Kliss, who plays Tara.
Hi.
We have Scott, who plays Zach.
Hi.
We have the lovely Emma, who's one of our writers.
Hi.
And last but certainly not least, we have Kim, who does just about everything. So when Tabs asked me to get involved and help host one of these, I had to come up with some questions. That was my assignment. So I promised not to make them too hard, but I figured I had to have this one because it's something I'm very interested in hearing. So I'll start out asking this one. What does everybody think was the coolest thing about being involved in this project? Kliss, do you want to start us off?
God. thanks. the coolest thing, I'd have to say meeting all these cool people. Everyone's awesome. I've made a whole bunch of new friends, and it's just a fun project to work on. And I love Buffy, so even better.
Yeah. Now, how about Kim, since you're so deeply involved with this, what did you find to be the fun?
You know, I'd have to agree with Kliss there. It really is the people. Although the lime green thong, I think, ranks, because I think that Kliss might be mad if I didn't say that.
Yes, I love that lime green thong.
Okay. Not the answer I expected, but I certainly can go with the flow. And that's a perfect example of what I was referring to, is very much the comfort level with this entire group of folks. So, Emma, how about yourself from the writing side?
Well, not the lime green farm. Just getting to do a lot of work that I wouldn't have done otherwise, and the people as well.
Now, Scott, can you want to say kind of like the male side of an opinion here?
Yeah, I like the fact that I get to play a bad guy in this is pretty cool. You know, being an angsty teen vampire is always a lot of fun. And again, the people hanging out and chatting with some of these guys is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And any thoughts to add there, Tasha?
Oh, yeah. The people are definitely great. And it's really great to work with people who, you know, are kind of on the geek level with Buffy. And it's really fun. And it's totally awesome. And I love playing Dawn because you get a range of emotions from bubbly to dramatic. And it's really fun. I love this whole experience.
Well, that's great. Now, sticking with you, actually, why don't we kick into a little specific on this episode with the themes that went through it. Do you have a, shall we say, worst memory of a birthday story you can share?
Well, I'm actually a New Year's baby. I was born on December 31st, so I haven't really had a bad birthday experience, but my birthdays have never been that fantastic because, well, they're fine, but, you know, like out at their New Year's parties and people are kind of like busy with New Year's. But overall, they've been okay. It's just that during Christmas, I get those presents that are like, oh, here's your Christmas and birthday present. And, of course, that kind of grinds my gears. But overall, my birthday is all right.
Yeah, that can be not much fun when you overlap those holidays like that. Anyone else want to jump in with a bad birthday story?
Mine's going to be in a wedding this year. Not really excited about that, even though it'll be a very nice wedding, but I have to go to another state. So, yay.
My last birthday was writing this script.
Now there's dedication.
I don't know if I can say mine, but I will say it involved a mechanical bull. Lots of male strippers and lots of liquor.
Worst, Cliss.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's the worst, you're doing okay.
And best days of my life. That's how it goes. And I will never look at cowboy hats the same way again.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Moving on.
I mean, I was going to say, I guess I could relax somewhere close to the rails that we just jumped off of. Looking forward to things. What would you guys say are you're most excited about coming up with season two of Buffy Between the Lines? Maybe, Kim, you can start us off since you're looking ahead to a lot of that stuff.
Ahead or entrenched in ever. season two is going to be very different. It's going to be a lot of fun, but the characters are not as heavily based on the Scoobies, and the episodes. So it's going to be very different. There's lots more people.
Very cool. Very much looking forward to it, especially since I get to be one of those new people.
Yeah. Everybody here is, actually. Yay.
Now, I have another question, and I'm going to start out with Scott because we've kind of been leaving him out so far. But okay. Having done a lot of voice work myself, I know this is a good, fun one to ask. Can everyone remember or talk a little bit about whatever, when they've done a previous recording, for those that have, that one time where no matter how hard you tried, you just couldn't get the line right, and how you found a way to get around that? Do you have one in mind, Scott?
Well, you know, luckily for me, the character of Zach isn't something that most people remember, so I kind of have a habit of just saying it how I would say it normally. So there haven't really been a lot of instances where I can't quite get a line. I'm a horrible talker, though, so I stutter a lot. So I have to do endless takes sometimes just to make sure that I pronounce everything correctly and, I don't know, don't end up saying things backwards. I can't really remember a specific incident, but it happens a lot.
Tasha, how about you? Do you have a time?
Oh, sometimes it gets really hard to say lines. Like, especially in this episode, there's like humongous like chunks of lines for me because of the journal entries. And sometimes it's really hard to get a flow going and it's really easy to mess up. And if I just like have a little stutter, I freak out and I have to do it all over again. So that happens occasionally and it's not very fun, but eventually I pull through.
Cliss, can you share a story?
Well, anytime I mess up, I just start swearing, so it helps me out. And I scare all the editors. It's always fun.
Kim, have you come across any in particular that have words or phrases that you just couldn't get through?
Not really. I'm lucky because, as the bot, I don't get a lot of, crazy demons pronounced. That's mostly Anya's deal. So I think there's been a couple of times where I've had like a bunch of alliteration.
Now that everyone's been working on doing some lines for a while, and the kind of the excitement wears off a little of being new, how do you keep this fresh? How does it, you stop it from becoming almost, oh, I've got to do some lines today. How do you keep it fresh? What is some tips folks can share there?
I'll answer. Watch the episodes. That seems to be a big help for me. I also like to go back and listen to some of my favorite pieces of my dialogue and to help me get sort of back into the mind frame of the character. That seems to help me quite a bit as well.
And it also helps to like look at the fans and see how much they care about the project, and it kind of motivates you to stick with it. And just like she said, yeah, it's good to get back into the character and get excited about the character and the show all over again. So...
Now, maybe, Emma, you can give us a thought from a writer's point of view. I mean, it's a lot of work, obviously, to do that. And if you get entrenched and get a little bit of a writer's block, how do you have any little tips of what helps you?
The threat of Tom's killing me. If I don't finish.
Scott, do you have anything that comes in handy there for you?
Yeah, I avoid tabs at all costs because I get these angry emails saying, hey, turn in your lines. So that's pretty motivating.
And that's going to go against all of our nice talk about how much fun we all have here. We're going to get this image about tabs out there.
It's actually not tabs, though. It's valid since the mean emails.
But it's a fun kind of mean. If you know what I mean.
Now, talking about watching the episodes or going back to that, for those of you who are doing well-known characters, if you need to really nail that voice or mannerisms of the character, is there something you do besides just watching it? Is there something else that helps you with that? How about you, Cliss, on that one?
Well, there was this one of the pieces that I did for the audition that always sticks in my mind whenever I try to get into the Tara mode. So I just say that. And then I get into it. Seems to work.
Tasha, how about you with all the Dawn stuff you've got to do?
Well, being a 16-year-old, I just channel all of my loud, obnoxious hormones, and I think I'm pretty good. So, not saying that Dawn's obnoxious, but, you know, teenagers, you know, they get hormonal.
I have two of them for daughters, so yes, hallelujah to the Lord. Now, Scott, when you've got to play the vampire, is there something special that helps there?
Not really. I mean, I kind of just go with the flow of being an angry, horny teenager, and then, you know, instead of saying, hey, I want sex, I just go, hey, I want blood, and that tends to pretty much work. All the same euphemisms.
Oh, well put. Now, Kim, when you're trying to do the Buffy bot, do you have to catch yourself, slow yourself down, or what do you do to kind of make that sound unique?
Sometimes it's hard. I just try to, truthfully, I try to remember the way that Sarah Michelle Gellar sort of looks when she does it, and sometimes I'll try to even, like, mimic her facial expressions just so that I can kind of get more into it, and then I just think perky.
I can't think of a better word.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a very good one. That's that came to mind for me thinking about it, so that's a perfect way to look at it. Now, all of us probably, while we have some good friends, shall we say, in the Buffy fandom and maybe in the podcasting world, how outgoing, shall we say, have you been as far as sharing the whole concept of what you're doing maybe to some folks who may not know what podcasting is or may not be big Buffy fans? Have you been willing to, shall we say, open yourself up to hear about podcasts and things like that? Maybe you can kick us off there, Cliss.
I tell everyone I'm in Buffy Between the Lines. I told it to people when I worked at the bar. And I recruited them. I recruited a ton of people at the bar. Drunk people love Buffy. And then when they sober up, they love it even more.
I figured you'd have a good angle on that one. That's why I wanted to start with you. Natasha, how about yourself at your age? I mean, is this something you've been able to share at school a bit, or do you kind of keep that one to yourself?
Well, quite honestly, I kind of keep it to myself. I really love the project, but most kids in my school aren't that type, I guess. Like, most of them don't even know what a podcast is, or has only, like, watched Buffy a couple of times when they were little, and they can't really grasp the concept of an audio drama. I've shared it with a couple of people, and they were kind of like, oh, that's interesting, but, you know, they never really clung on to the idea. But my best friend, Michelle, who's a nerd like me, I talk about it with her a lot, and that's how I vent all of my excitement with her about it. So I have somebody.
Now, Emma, as a writer, is this something you enjoy sharing with some other folks too?
I will tell people about it. I was the most outgoing person and just like tell loads of people.
But it must be something to be very proud of. I mean, you put in some real good work here.
Yeah, definitely. I'm proud of it.
Now, how about yourself, Scott? Any thoughts there?
I just recently told some of my students at school about it, and probably wasn't the best move on my part because now I'm officially the dork teacher. Aww. But I'm okay with that. I also have a girlfriend. I have a girlfriend who I told about this, and let's just say she doesn't share the love of Buffy that we all do. But I guess She was wondering what I was going to say about her right now, so she said she'd at least listen to the commentary to see if I was bad enough.
That must have been a bit of an odd situation.
Not particularly. I mean, she knows that I'm kind of a, you know, into this sort of thing, the Buffy Firefly stuff. It's just not really her thing. Although, to be fair, you know, I make fun of her for going to Renfests and sailing and all this other stuff that she does, so it kind of evens out.
That sounds good.
And yet somehow we're still together, so I guess it works.
That's okay. My wife puts up with all my podcasting. She just keeps waiting. Whenever I tell her about a new project, she's like, "That's nice, dear. So when do you make money at this?"
That's exactly right.
So just keep saying someday. Now, speaking about podcasting and being involved in multiple things, I know a couple of folks here are on other podcasts, I believe. Cliss, do you want to talk about something?
Yeah, I'm in Jost, the podcast Jost. I do the news segment with Laura, who plays Candace. And I'm also playing Mindy in Geek by Night.
Now, how?
Which is Warren Scott, who plays Warren. He's the one that created that.
Now, how would you... Oh, yay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, yay, Geek by Night. That's something I just got involved with that as well.
Now, how would you... Being two different groups of people, for the most part, there, Cliss, how are the dynamics different between this particular project and that one?
I think the Buffy Between Lines is more like... kind of like a family thing. Like, you know, you chat with people here and, you know, it's like friends and they're kind of like a different sort of strange family. It's like the weird uncles and cousins and stuff. No?
Except for we're not going to sing it.
And, I don't know, Geek by Night, I mean, we don't have a chat or anything about it. It's just when we do the table read, we have fun and do that and this is more like familial.
Ah, okay. That's certainly right in line with what we all expect. Now, aside from just the idea of another podcast, having been able to see some success and real enjoyment here with this group, has anyone else now moved on to be inspired to do some other stuff, some creative works or such? Anyone want to talk on that one?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to do any, anytime soon. But the idea of becoming, like, a voice actor in general is like, really appealing to me now. Like, I don't know, something simple, like being a voice for a cartoon sounds really cute and fun, and something like that I think I might be interested in the future. So, wee!
Yeah.
Anyone else want to tackle that one?
I've actually done a bunch of voice acting since I started this, too. Kind of crazy, but yeah, I ended up getting a whole bunch of different parts in different video games, which I really sort of enjoy. And so that was kind of surprising but fun. And one of them I'm even going to get, like, credit for, like, publicly, which is sort of very publicly, which was really surprising but nice.
No, that's great. And that's what a lot of folks see is the chance to kind of hone the skills and get comfortable just with friends, and then you've got a chance to maybe take it somewhere else. Now, aside from having all the fun that we're having when we're involved in the show and the group, is there anything that you said really has surprised you about working on the podcast? Or what really caught you off guard once you got involved and saw what was going on? It doesn't have to be a bad thing, but just kind of something that caught your attention. Tasha, anything there?
Acting is harder than it looks. That's all I have to say. Or sounds, in this case.
I agree.
I'll go ahead and say that. I'd never done anything with, you know, any kind of group effort like this. I was just incredibly surprised at how, you know, together everything was, from the writing and having the scripts out and having deadlines and all this stuff. It was quite regimented, and it made it really easy to kind of work with everybody, and that was really surprising to me. I half expected to go in and be like, all right, now everyone sort of make up your own thing.
Yeah, I've been sort of surprised. I've been sort of venturing out and met other producers of audio dramas and really surprised at how differently people do things. It's a lot more like what Scott had said he expected. So I've been sort of pleased on the overall about how we've managed to keep things fairly organized. And we have a much, much larger group than anyone else seems to. So I think it's kind of necessary.
Yeah, I, for one, as a newbie, can definitely say when I got involved and you folks started bringing me up to speed with all of the Google documents and the schedules and the timelines, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
So kudos to that end of things. And that's a good example, too, of another item. I mean, most of the listeners naturally are hearing the voices like we have today, but there's a lot more people involved doing a lot more behind-the-scenes thing. I mean, there are any of you doing things other than just the voice works here at the podcast?
Less now, thankfully. In season two, we've decided to employ a lot more help, which has been awesome. So we've had a lot more helpers, which...
They've contracted more
souls. We did. It was great. So casting got done, and I didn't have to, I don't know, kill someone. And that was awesome. Thanks to the help.
Yay! Yay for the no killing.
Always a good thing.
Yes. But actually, everyone now is on crew. And we've sort of integrated, since we're not done with season one, we've sort of integrated the people that were that are starting to be involved in season two into a lot of our season one stuff. So we've... inflicted things on everyone. So everyone here plays a crew role as well.
Oh, that's outstanding. Now, I don't want you folks to have to think you need to be the writers, since we have such good ones already involved, but if looking at your own character, is there anything that you have that you'd like to see them go in a certain direction or do a certain thing in the coming episodes? Any thoughts there, Cliss?
I don't know. I don't know. The writers are awesome. They can't do bad with me. Emma, you're awesome. Everyone else is awesome.
Thanks.
But, yes, let's get Tara to fight somebody.
Well, and maybe that's something that might be a good question for Scott, since he gets to be the bad guy there. Anything you're hoping to see yourself doing there, Scott?
I have a couple options. I would like to either see Zach become, you know, one of the redeemable vampires, and, I don't know, possibly fall in love with Dawn and have a struggle with Spike in that respect, or I would like him to kind of kill off Javert and sort of be the big bad of the season, the surprise runaway kind of. But, you know, I'm probably going to get staked through the heart, so that's okay. I also, a really good death scene would be great. I could, if you remember the end of the Buffy movie, Pee Wee Herman doing his thing, I would want something like that, too. That would be fun.
You have to give me a different character, though. Your character's canon.
I have to give an alter ego or something so we can pull that one off.
We can
I don't want
Zachariah.
My character to die.
No, I don't think anyone's voting for that for themselves. I don't think so.
Well, she does, though.
Well, is anyone really dead in the Jossverse? That's the question.
That's true.
I mean, aside
Natasha
from
would...
dead.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
I was going to say, now, Tasha, knowing, you know, in terms of where you can see Dawn going, is there anything that you would really like to play at some point that you think might not happen or such, now that we've got all the writers' ears and they're listening to all this great input?
I have no clue. I don't know. I think they've done pretty well with Dawn. I really can't think of anything else.
Anyone else have any thoughts on that one before we wrap things up tonight? No, I'll take that silence as a no. So before we go, is there any other thoughts anyone wants to make sure to get out there for the listeners?
Listen to season two.
Yeah.
Yay.
Stick around. There's more stuff coming. And the end of season one is going to be a lot of fun.
And we love you. always.
Absolutely. And it's a great group of folks. I can definitely put an exclamation point on that one. So I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight, and the same thing for the listeners, taking the time to listen and give us your opinions. It's what helps to make it a much more rich experience. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Many realities in the cosmos. An uneasy truce stands between the most powerful. Yet war is looming. In a remote reality cluster lurks a far bigger danger, a dark and terrible secret. Cosmos Productions presents Estelvin's Legacy. Visit Cosmos Productions at cosmos.co.uk. The universe exists for now.